Following that, there's some credits, and that was actually a couple of colonels, first sergeants. God's got good people everywhere, amen, in the military, and I'm very thankful for all of you fathers today. And, you know, someone I saw on the back of their vehicle, I don't know whose vehicle it was, it had an arrow, and it had their kids. And there's a scripture in Psalms that says, your children are like arrows, and you're the one who is shooting those arrows out into a lost and dying world. And certainly what we do with these children are very, very important. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, probably the most important sermon I've ever preached in this pulpit. 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 8, American Idol, the true God in 19 men. The true God in 19 men. And so you will want to listen carefully because I'm going to be asking 19 men to join me on the pulpit this morning. So you're going to want to listen to what I'm going to ask you to join me for. American Idol, the true God in 19 men. 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 8. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Fathers, we stand again. I thank you for the many fathers who have gone on before us, Father, who have taught us godly principles. And Lord, we just praise you that we can celebrate today and we can remember the fathers who've gone on before us. And then the fathers who are with us today, I thank you that they're here to hear this message. And I pray that these men will stand up today and say, for me and my house, serve the Lord. Lord, I pray for your fresh oil of anointing to be upon this place, for this preacher, and for every hearer, that we will not miss you today is my earnest prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to thank everyone for allowing us to go to the Southern Baptist Convention. It is a great investment for our church to send us because we make decisions that will affect the entire Southern Baptist Convention, and it's a great ministry. Heard some great preaching. I mean, it's always encouraging. Great preachers of our day is always fun. I heard this story that some years ago in Europe, they had a very interesting way in determining whether an inmate in a sanatorium was sane enough to leave and to be sent out into the general population. They would send this prospective person who might be sane enough to lead the sanatorium into a janitor's closet. And in the janitor's closet, they would put a stopper in the sink. And then they would turn the water on, allowing the water to overflow the sink onto the floor. They then would give the prospective inmate a mop to see what he would do. And they left the inmate there with the mop, the sink overflowing. They knew in coming back that if the inmate was still mopping, if the sink was still overflowing with water, if the stopper was still in the sink, that that inmate was not ready to leave the sanitarium. I need not to tell you that in America today, we're in a big mess. And the problem that we all have in the church and in our nation, we're trying to mop up the water without removing the stopper in the sink. In other words, we don't deal, listen carefully, with the root of the problem. And I'm talking to you as an individual, because there's a lot of people here today, you're not dealing with the root of the problem. You're just trying to mop up the water. You're dealing with the mess of life, but you're not dealing with the real root. You're not dealing with the problem. And if we're slinging mops trying to clean up the mess that is in our culture with the stopper still in the sink, you know what's going to happen, don't you? We're going to just be mopping forever because we have not gotten to the root. So I would suggest we put down our mops for a moment, join together at the sink, and learn how to unstop the stopper. Because once you remove the stopper, it changes the nature of the work with the mop. It makes me think of this story about our government. They did a survey, and they love doing these surveys, of which way do you take a bath in a bathtub? Do you sit facing the faucet, or do you sit with your back against the faucet? Well, they got the results of the survey. Only our government would think of something like this. And everyone except one person said that they faced the faucet when taking a bath. This one man, this just one individual, said that he sat with his back toward the faucet. So they thought they'd get together a delegation. I mean, we got plenty of money. And we'd take this delegation and go and interview this man. It happened to be this man lived way out in the west, up this long trail, up a mountain. They like they never got to his house. Finally got to his house, and they asked him, said, we did this survey of our whole nation, and of all the people in this nation, you're the only one that sent the survey back saying that when you take a bath, that you take a bath with your back against the faucet. Everybody else faces the faucet. Well, why do you do this? He said, well, it's real simple for me. He said, we never did have a stopper, so you had to sit where the drain was in order to keep the water in the tub. Now, that's logic, isn't it? I want to say this to us. Somebody needs to get off their seat. And we need to realize that if we're going to ever drain this water, deal with this mess, we got to put our mops down and get off our seat and do something. And so I'm going to give you three things today about the true God in 19 men. Number one, in Israel's day, they were rejecting the Almighty. You see that in the latter part of verse 2 and verse 3. It says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found to you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel, notice what it says, they were without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. Serious things when you reject Almighty God. Notice he said, no true God. For a long season, Israel had been without the true God, which means that there was a lot of false gods, okay? In other words, idolatry was all over the place, so much so there was no room for the true God. What we are seeing today is God turning the world over to life without him. We've taken him out of our culture, out of our schools, out of our homes, out of our lives, and even out of our day-to-day living. God says, you can have life without me, but you're not going to like it. Notice what he says in verse 2. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. What happened to Israel is happening today in our society. Let me tell you what's happening. Let me explain where I'm going with this. We're dumbing down God. And we're dumbing him down so we can control God, we think, and we can have our idols, even in the name of our God. That's the dumbing down of deity. The church is looking like a Walmart today. Everybody wants to go to Walmart because Walmart has the better deals. Everybody wants God that just, as long as God's on sale, as long as they can get God cheap, they will get all of God they can handle. But the moment that he comes full price, they're going to shop elsewhere. If Walmart's prices started rising, we'd find somewhere else to shop. And that's where we are in the church today. We're dumbing God down. What we're watching today is the result of dumbing God down. Now, what we don't have, while we don't have the idols that the third world countries have, we don't worship trees and rivers and the sun or the moon. No, but we worship race. We worship our class. We worship our political identification. We've raised these things up to idolatry, and we hug these gods with all the hope that we can, because we don't want anything to interrupt this love affair we carry on with the deity of our race and our class and our culture and our gender. What is an idol? Well, an idol is simply a noun, person, place, or thing that you look to as your source. And when you look at any of those things as your source, that is called the American idol. That is, you have upgraded idolatry to contemporary society. Well, if there is no God, there has to be false gods. And Israel, they were guilty of idolatry. They were worshiping false gods. America's doing the same thing. And the interesting thing, I want to prove that in talking about no teacher given, how we are dumbing God down. How is this happening? He says, without a teaching priest. Now, he didn't say that there were no priests. He didn't say there were no preachers. But what he's really saying, in other words, the pulpit had failed. He did not say that there were not preachers preaching. There certainly were prophets prophesying. What he's saying is that what they were talking about and what God was talking about was not the same thing. Rather than teaching God's word, they were simply sprinkling God on their words. Rather than preaching, thus saith the Lord, it was, thus saith man, making it sound like it was, thus saith the Lord. That's where we are today. Just giving enough Jesus to make it sound like Jesus. God has spoken, folks, and when God speaks, he does not stutter. When God says something, it is authoritative. What we're trying to figure out with our committees and our small groups and all that we do as a church many times, God's already said, this is what you do, now do it. When God says do something, you just do it. You don't vote on it either. You know, a lot of times we Baptists, we feel like we got to vote on. You don't vote on God. God's going to do what God's going to do, whether you're going to do it with him or not. Amen? And you know, a lot of times we want to blame others and we say, well, you know, it's their fault, but we're going to get there in a minute. No true God, no teacher given, no truth grounded. Now, these are all original. If you don't understand it, it's my fault. No truth grounded. He says, and without law. People without law make up their own rules. People make up their own they make their own decisions. They decided what truth was, and that's what we're doing today. We're deciding what truth is. We live in a culture where absolute truth has disappeared. Unfortunately, we're living in a time when our churches have no absolutes, where God's standard does not govern even in the church. We complain that the culture, the world, has left God, when it is, in fact, the job of the church to bring the view of God to the culture. God is not going to skip the church to fix the problems at the White House. The Bible says judgment must begin in the house of God. And so you and I have got to understand that God didn't save you just to go to heaven. He saved you to make a difference. A lot of you may not understand what God's up to in your life, but he's up to something. We are concerned about what's happening in the White House, and God's not concerned so much of what is happening at the White House as he is as what's happening in this house, in his house. Only the church, you need to understand something. I need to, and I, hang with me, I'm getting somewhere. Only the church, the Bible says, has the keys of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 16, 18 and 19. The government doesn't have the keys to the kingdom. The social welfare systems, they don't have the keys to the kingdom. Only the church possesses the keys to the kingdom. So you are the only one that can get God back in America. Because you see, the truth is, we're at the point where there's no true God in America. We really are. We've come up where we've dumbed God down somehow in thinking that we can have our idols and have God too. It don't work that way. We've dumbed him down in our pulpits. Nobody wants to stand. Most preachers, and I'm going to tell you one of the major problems in our society today, and you, most of you don't even know this, the older ones will, that there used to be preachers that had enough backbone to stand in a pulpit and call sin, sin, and they preached that hell was hot and heaven was sweet, and they were more concerned about the souls of man than they were themselves. But nowadays, most preachers are concerned about themselves, and they don't want to offend anyone. And they want to give people what they want to hear, when the fact is, what they need to hear is what would change their life. And if we love them enough, we're rejecting the Almighty. But there's hope. Restoring the afflicted. You see that in verse 4. But when they in their trouble, in their distress, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found in them. You know what that really means? It means, and he let them find him. In other words, God is just as much at work today as he's ever been. It's just whether or not we recognize it. God is speaking all the time. It's just whether or not we're listening. You got to be a good hearer. When we were starting the building program, we asked the question, has anybody heard from God? And several said, well, no, I haven't heard from God. Well, the question really shouldn't have been, have you heard from God? The question should have been, are you listening? Because God's speaking all the time. The question is, are you really listening? Far too many of God's people have lost their way. It was in their trouble that they recognized their need to get back to God. God's answering our prayer for revival, and he's using trouble to get us there. He's saying when they sought him, they were able to find him. And we're going to get there in just a second. But the first thing I want you to understand under restoring the afflicted, he is a God of deliverance. But we're going to take this sort of full circle and see what brought them to this point. Now, we've got to get ready because I'm going to get right to the meat of this. There was a desperation in verse 5. And in those times, there was no peace to them, to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. We have no peace. And looking back at verse 3, it is because God has been left out. Left out of our lives, left out of our homes, left out of our schools, left out of our government. We've just simply left God out. Don't think that you can leave God out and think everything's going to be okay. When God is left out, something else is going to be put in its place, and that is called idolatry. And that's what's happening in America. We've left God out. And look what's happening. Substitutes for God. In order for God to deliver us, we, for the most part, have to get desperate before the Lord. And I don't think we've got desperate. I'll tell you, I remember going through a recession when I was a young boy, and I remember the church being packed out. You know what's going to pack this church out? Another recession. It will. I'm sorry to say that many times we have to face trouble. We have to have stress. We have to have distress. We have to have problems so God can get our attention. Anybody listening? Because you know, most of the time, and even sitting here this morning, some of you probably are not listening. So God's going to allow more distress. And that's the third thing I want to talk about. And nation was destroyed in verse 6 of nation, and city of city, for God did vex. Vex means distress. Them with all adversity. And that word in the original language means confusion and hardship and trouble. God troubled them with all kinds of trouble. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, that don't make sense. I mean, it didn't make sense to me either. I would have thought in reading this text, it would have said something like this. Because of all the evil and all the sin, with all the circumstances, the text, I would have thought, would have read like this. You, for the devil, troubled them with every kind of distress. But that's not what it says. It says God troubled them with distress. So if God is your problem, listen to me carefully, then only God is your solution. And folks, I'm telling you today, you don't, maybe you've not recognized it, but maybe somebody needs to come along and tell you, God could be your problem. Because God has allowed the distress, He's allowed the trouble, He's allowed the heartache, He's allowed the pain, so He can get your attention. God wants your attention. Our attention span is shorter than ever. We got all these, and I can't remember what they all are. I just got my bottom whipped all the time. But the, what do they call them? ADD, BYE, ZRY. You got to take a pill for everything. I tell you, when I was growing up, you know, I'm sure I had all that, but I just got a spanking for it. Okay? And you know, I've never been one to pop pills. But and I'm not condemning. I know kids do that today, but maybe mom and daddy just, well, anyway. We'll get into parenting here. God caused distress to get their attention. As clay is in the potter's hand, the potter will put pressure on the clay to do what? In order to shape it into the vessel that he wants to make it. Stress can shape you. Trouble can shape you. The very thing that God caused them to get right. Now I'm going to ask nobody else to be moving around. Find your seat and stay in it. This is the most important time of this service. It was 9/11. We'll never forget it. I just experienced it all over again going through four airports. On September the 11th, 2001, we were invaded. 9/11 has forever shifted how we live in America. 9/11 has forever determined how you function in this culture. You will never travel like you used to travel before 9/11. Security is everywhere because of 9/11. Everything has changed. I'll tell you what, I got frustrated. Having to go to the airport, you got to pretty much, now they caught Sherry. I don't know what she did, but they were running that thing over her. But then they put me through a machine and I had to do this, you know. Like, we're the crooks, you know. Move your shoes, move your belt, everything out of your pocket, all this stuff, and they're all looking at you like, could you be the one? Security is everywhere because of 9/11. I want you to look at the faces of 19 men. These are the 19 men who invaded our shores with their worldview in the name of their God. 19 men invaded our country and they shook us to the core in the name of their God. I couldn't get all 19 of them on there. That's not 19, but there were 19 men. Did you know there were that many? There were 19 men who changed America. Really. Changed the way we do things, the way we interact. Shook us to the core. I mean, shook this nation. I hate this next picture. They brought their faith, their worldview, their commitment from halfway around the world to the most powerful country in the world, and forever has reshaped us in the name of their God. In the name of their God, I've been there now to the 9/11 memorial. I don't know if I've ever felt, I don't know why I felt the way I did. I didn't know anybody, but I became very angry when I was walking at the bottom of those two buildings. And I was remembering 9/11, and I was thinking, as all the names are listed there of the people who died in those towers that day. I remember 9/11. I remember exactly where I was standing, and I guess it does say something about what God's called me to do, because I remember that day very clearly. I watched the plane go into that second tower. And then I couldn't believe it was happening, but the thing that really got me was when people started jumping out of those windows. And I began to think that day, and I remember it was on a Wednesday because I was supposed to preach that night, and I called one of my deacons, and I just told him I'm not going to be there. It devastated me. And I went up to Lake Tillery, and I sat there that evening because all I could think about was those people jumping out of that building, and they chose to go to heaven or hell. Every one of them jumped out of that building, and they died. All those people died. Now, I'll tell you, I ain't going to lie to you. I might as well be honest. I think there's some things you ought to be angry about. I'm still angry about a 9/11. I am. So you help me. Maybe help me with my problems here. I think the next picture is the Pentagon. So help me. Help me do some math before we close this service. I know this is Father's Day, and I'm thinking of the Father, and then I'm thinking about us guys and how we're fathers and how God holds us accountable to be spiritual leaders and God holds us accountable to be good husbands, and we've got a lot on our shoulders. So I'm going to bring it down to Gorge Springs and make it real simple for every man here today. Do the math. Help me. If 19 men in the name of their wrong God can invade the United States of America and bring us to our collective needs, what do you think that 19 men full of faith and commitment to the one true God, the name of the right God, in the name of the righteous God, can do to bring this nation to its knees for God? 19 men who are not part-time Christians, but full-time saints. 19 men who would say, enough is enough. 19 men who would say, everyone else is coming out of the closet. It's time for us 19 men to come out of our closet and stand for the one true God. The one God who said, I am that I am. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one true God. No idol, no Allah, but the one true God. Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Could we get 19 men to take a stand for Jesus, even at Gorge Springs Baptist Church? And I'll tell you, if I can't find 19 men, I decided this in this pulpit today. There's going to be one man standing here. I don't need 19. God don't need 19. God just says, I'll use one man. Yeah, God can use any man. Fully surrendered, committed to Him. I love this scripture. And I'm thinking about our church and our future where it says in verse 9, because it says Asa, he took that stand against idolatry. And he says, and they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. In other words, all the other Jews came out of their adultery. They came out of the countryside and they joined with this one man who said, the Lord, He is our God and there will be no other gods before us. I love old Asa. He even went to his mama. I mean, his mama was clean and he dethroned his mama because his mama had an idol in her garden. He dethroned his own mother. That's making a stand, amen? Oh, I wish I had time to preach all this, but I got to give you some help. So the question is, how can we be those 19 men in closing? Well, look at verse 7 and we're done. They were renewing the altar. You see it in verse 7? Is that verse 7? No, that's verse 8. I'm sorry. Look at verse 7. We'll start there. He said, be ye strong, therefore, and let your hands and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. We need to renew the altar. Look at verse 7, the last part. It says, and they renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Three things that I believe they entered into a holy covenant. And God is a covenant God. By the way, do you know God always keeps His covenant? He always keeps His word. He says, I will bless the nation that blesses Israel. I will curse the nation that curses Israel. All right, the covenant was to serve God. You see in verse 7, be strong. Don't be weak. Don't let your hands be weak. Your work will be rewarded. Don't give up.
Don't give in. Decide today, man, who you're going to serve. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But I will tell you that even in ministry and even in this church, we all grow weak and tired. But even Moses had Aaron and Ur. I love Mike Mabry, who came along my side and said, Pastor, I'll be one of those men to help hold your arm up. You won't have to worry about announcements no more. That's been a blessing to me. I need some other men to come along and say, you know what? I'll serve God at Gorge Springs Baptist Church. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. I will serve the Lord because I believe our God is the true God. I believe in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And there's no doubt about it. I know, Pastor Ronnie, if we do what God wants us to do and we serve Him faithfully, He will reward us. Amen? Oh, you know how tools are used, don't you? You think about how that... You know the tools of your trade. I think about a soldier who's been trained in how to use a gun. I think about a carpenter who's trained in how to use a saw. A mechanic knows how to use his wrench. A teacher knows how to use the book. But how are we going to be 19 men to serve God? I'll tell you how. We need to know how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Folks, we need to hold the Word of God up high and say, I believe this book from cover to cover. I believe it from Genesis to maps. I believe everything in it, folks. And you know what? There is no error because our God don't make mistakes. Amen. And I'm just going to say, you say, well, that's narrow-minded. Well, I'm going to be so narrow-minded that I'm going to heaven. What about the rest of you? It's a straight and narrow way. You believe this book or you don't believe it. A covenant to serve God. And then a covenant to seek God. Notice in verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, look what happened. It says, the prophet, he took courage and he put away the detestable idols out of all the land of Judah, of Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch. And they entered into covenant to seek the Lord their God of their fathers with all their heart. And he says that over and over and over in this chapter. With all their heart, with all their heart, and with all their soul. In other words, friend, God said this. If you seek me, you will find me. Now, I know we're next Sunday are going to do this groundbreaking. We've had people come and go in this church. But I'm going to tell you, with all my heart, if we will enter into a covenant to serve our God and seek our God, He will come through. Amen. Some people say, no, I don't want to be a part of that. I literally believe there are people that have left our church because they don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what God is doing. Amen. And by the way, I got to tell you like it is, and I'll probably upset somebody. You should never, ever, and here's the counsel of your pastor, and you take it for what it is. You have no reason to ever leave a church except that the Word of God's not being preached there. That's right. No, it's not based on your feelings. Oh, I got my feelings hurt. Preacher didn't even shake my hand. I had someone tell me the other day, I disagreed with another member. It's not based on that. Friend, I'm going to tell you, why is it? I've never had anyone tell me, well, I'm going to leave the church, Pastor Ronnie, because you're not preaching the Word of God. You know why? Because they know I'm preaching the Word of God. And I know I'm preaching the Word of God because one day I got to give answer to God for whether I preach this Word. And I'm preaching this Word today because I love you. And if you will enter into a covenant to serve God and a covenant to seek God, and last of all, a covenant to sacrifice to God. You see, in verse 14, it says, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. That's the covenant. For they had sworn with all their heart and sought him. I love the wording of this. With their whole desire. And he was found to them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Prayers and praises are now our spiritual sacrifices. God has not called us because of Jesus Christ, who is our supreme sacrifice. He's not called us to do what they did here in verse number 11, last part, that they brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. Man, that's a lot of sacrificing. But they sacrificed to their God. Our sacrifices, get me, is prayers and praises. Yeah, I'm right about this. Because if we started really believing that our God is the true God, you can't help yourself. You're going to praise Him. You're going to thank Him. The problem is, we don't believe our God is the true God. We've dumbed God down, and we think somehow that we serve idols. Our God is not an idol. He is the one true God. And I'm asking you today, church, if you believe He is the one true God, then start acting like it. Serve Him wholeheartedly. Seek Him with all. He said, if you'll seek me, I'll make sure you find me. You say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, guess what? Seek God and He'll reveal His truth to you. Oh, yeah. It's easy. It's not hard. What we're trying to make happen in a lifetime, God can do in less than 5 seconds. Oh, yeah. What God the Holy Spirit can do right now at this invitation, because I'm fixing to give it. What God the Holy Spirit can do right now at this invitation, in less than 5 minutes, God can do more in 5 minutes than all of us collectively can do in our lifetime. Right now. So here's the invitation. I'm going to ask for some sacrifices. I'm talking about prayers and praises. Because you see, number one, it says that the Lord, what happened here was the altar was renewed. And renewed the altar. I wonder if there's 19 men in this church who would come to this altar and kneel here today and say, oh God, I surrender my life. Lord, I want to serve you wholeheartedly. Oh God, I come now to seek you wholeheartedly. I seek you, God. I hunger for you. I want your word. I'm going to be faithful to read your word every day. Lord, I'm going to seek you in prayer. Lord, I come to you in prayer to renew the altar at Gorge Springs Baptist Church. And now, Lord, I get up off this altar and I come here and I stand with my pastor to be a sacrifice to my God. That God, whatever you want to do through me, I want to be a living sacrifice. Are y'all listening to me today? I wonder if there's 19 men in this church. I mean, hey, Allah found Himself 19 men that could invade our country and change the way we have lived, changed our culture, changed our security, changed us all. There are men here that have signed up to be a soldier because of 9/11. I'm asking you, are there any soldiers of the cross? Are there any men who will stand here today? I mean, they're first, I'm asking you to come to say, God, I want to serve you wholeheartedly. God, I'm here to seek you in prayer and praise. And then, God, I'm willing to sacrifice. And you know, you think about our military. You know, this is my greatest love and respect for them. They love us enough that they're willing to give their life for our freedom. That's serious business. And by the way, listen to me. God is serious about this. He's not playing church. I don't want to be in a church that's playing God. I don't want to be in a church that's playing. I've been serious about this today. Are there 19 men? Well, we're fixing to find out. You don't have to wait. Hit the altar. You don't have to wait for the song to start. Hit the altar. Say, I'll be that man that will serve my God. Give God a hand. I'll be that man that will get on my knees and say, I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart. I'm not playing God. I'm not playing church. I'm going to serve my God. And I'm here to seek God. God, I'm here right now praying. I'm asking for you, man, to pray. Pray for God to do a work in this church that only God can do. And let me tell you something, church. When God gets the hold of the man, this is the untapped resource of our churches right here.
And when God gets a hold of their heart, you women will follow. This church will experience only what God can do. And they will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, because they'll say, God is with these men. Asa, he was a man of God, and God was with these men. I'm going to pray with these men right now, and I'm going to ask God, as they're at this altar, I don't believe they're here by show. I really don't believe there's not a man that came to this altar who's here by show, but I really believe they're here to serve the Lord right now. I believe right now that they are truly praying and seeking God in prayer. And now I'm going to ask, would you join me? That God would use us, starting with me. Because I've decided, I'm 60, I think, 60 or 61, I don't know. But I'm 60, I think I'm 60. But whatever I am, I've decided I'm going to finish well. I'm embarrassed what I see happening. It breaks my heart. This Me Too moment, movement, or whatever it is. See these men falling because they did something that they shouldn't have done. Well, that distress, that trouble that they're in spoke to my heart. I'm going to sacrifice myself to be true to my wife and always be a man of integrity. I want to be a living sacrifice. And I mean that. I want to finish well. Father, I pray with these, my brothers. I'm so proud of them today that they're at this altar and they're saying, I want to serve God with my whole heart. Oh God, would you anoint them? Oh God, today would you put your hand upon every one of these men and empower them like they've never known before. Would you energize them with your presence? Oh God, they're here to serve you today. And I ask you in the name above every name, the name of Jesus, that you would touch them, oh God, spiritually, and empower them like they've never been empowered before. I pray as you did on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit of God would come and rest upon these men, and that God, they will all of a sudden feel a source of energy, a strength like they've never felt before to be the man of God you called them to be. Oh Father, I pray in Jesus' name you'll touch every man's body physically. They're knelt before you. They're here serving you. They're here seeking you now. And you said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if there's one here at this altar right now who needs a touch of the Master's hand, would you touch him right here today and bring complete healing to his body, that he will be risen from his feet today and said, I will serve God. I will be the one who seeks God, because I know God's got a lot for me to do. And Lord, you didn't call us to die for you. You called us to live for you. And you said we're to be a living sacrifice. So I speak life into these men's lives. I speak the life of the Word of God, the life that changes lives. And if 19 men on 9/11 can cause such a change in our world, in our country, in our nation, in our society, in our culture, if 19 men can bring their worldview and their faith here to America, then God, what would you do with 19 men at this altar right now who are serving you and seeking you? And now I'm asking you, Lord, that you would only put the 19 men up here who mean business, that they really won't to be a living sacrifice. They really do want to serve you. They really do want to seek you, but they're going to stand saying, all right, I want to be one of those 19 men for my God. I want to be one of those 19 men. If 19 can make a difference on 9/11, then what a difference on this Father's Day, on June the 17th, 2018, if 19 men stood for the true God with the true Word of God and standing on the true law of God, what could you do through these 19 men? I'm claiming, Lord, that even now at this invitation, as we begin to sing, you'll give us those 19 men who will stand for the one true God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing this song. The altar's open and the pulpit's open. Just as I am, I come broken. Let's all sing.